Rock historian Ed Ward is now living in Europe, where he says the popular music is pop. The basic values of pop are there in American music, but Ed says it's sometimes harder to find.
The Chills' Heavenly Pop hit is only 5 years old, but it represents a type of music enjoyed the world over, except in America. Mostly, it's called pop, and it has hundreds of subdivisions. Some, like the German Schlager, ghastly. Others, like the Australian-New Zealand pop scene, epitomized by the Chills and the Verlaines, well, heavenly. It started with the Beatles and quickly spread through the English-speaking world. Fresh scrub voices, jangly guitars backing 3-minute songs with hooks placed in them so you can't forget them, try as you might. The psychedelic era produced pop with significance, though, and worse, it produced music that thought it was art. By the end of the 70s, we were exhausted by art and longed for something new. And we got it.
Every time.
The Shoes, to pick a band at random, were four guys from Zion, Illinois, who had internalized pop and produced their own take on it, while remaining true to the basics of melody, harmony, and hooks. In Britain, pop had never died, and riding the coattails of punk, hundreds of pop bands were making their own records and writing quirkier songs. Some, like Nick Lowe and Elvis Costello, had come from the pub rock era earlier in the decade, while others just came out of nowhere. And many of them, like Eddie and the Hot Rods, went right back there, too. Pop is nothing if not ultimately disposable, if its makers can't keep coming up with the goods. The pop underground had been in place throughout the 70s, both in America, where bands revered the all-but-unknown Big Star, a Memphis band featuring box-top singer Alex Chilton, which created a pop legend far larger than the number of records they sold, and in Britain, where pub rock bands like Brinsley Schwartz and Ducks Deluxe kept the fire burning. And undergrounds tend to have their day in the sun eventually, as grunge conveniently proved recently. Visiting Britain in 1980, I thought I'd died and gone to pop heaven. When I got back to the States, I had to wonder what went wrong. The problem, essentially, was radio in 1980, and radio was having none of this, even though the music was custom made for it. Not to mention bands that confused the issue.
Buzzcocks, everybody knew, were a punk band. Thus, they were ineligible for airplay, no matter that their actual records got poppier and poppier. And as for American bands, try as they might to disguise it by calling it New Wave, their pop, too, was just as unwelcome. Around Hoboken, New Jersey alone, a score of great bands came and went. The DBs, the Bongos, the Feelies, the list goes on. Occasional pop bands broke through. The big exception was Blondie, who did very well. Yet, considering the amount of great music being made during 1977 to 82, say, what's really amazing is how little of it got heard, compared to the amount of disco, for instance, during its heyday. Pop lives today. Just ask Matthew Sweet, who did very well with Girlfriend, a total pop masterpiece. Those of us who've loved pop since it began know that Green Day is just another pop band in punk clothes, and it was Hooks that got Nirvana onto the radio. But I'm suggesting that if you love pop's place in the rock universe, you might find it worthwhile to revisit the days when it was being reinvented. Good pop, after all, is timeless.
Ed Ward is a writer living in Berlin. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and this is Fresh Air.